Shall we turn to the first book of Samuel, chapter 25? 1 Samuel, chapter 25. Our brother was bringing before us that which has been much upon my heart of late in connection with the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who is now rejected, that one who was lifted up off the earth, and who at the present time does not have that which is his rightful due, the fact that he will, in the coming day, at his appearing, have that which belongs to himself, that which is his right, not only as to who he is, but as to what he has done. And as we've had him brought before us in that one who is rejected, and yet also is that one who will draw all unto him in the coming day. I was thinking of this circumstance in the book 1 Samuel 25 in connection with David as bringing before us the attitude of those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior at the present time in respect to him as the rejected one and yet the one who is destined to reign in this scene to the glory of God, that one who is to bring into this scene everything that is according to the mind and heart of God, in contrast with the attitude of those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, who have no regard for his right or what belongs to himself at all. We hear much in these days as to rights. And as we had brought before us, too, by our brother this afternoon, how that there are those who, among the young of this nation, speaking up as to their rights. And we hear this expression on every hand as to human rights. But there is that which belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has rights. And the first element of righteousness is that God himself and his beloved Son would have that which is due him, due the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe during the time of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God looks for those of us who are his people to maintain that which is what we might call the rights of the Lord Jesus Christ during the time when the world will have none of it while he is still cast out, rejected, as they said, away with this man, we will not have him to reign over us. Well, I'm just going to read a few verses here to bring before us a contrast between a man by the name of Nabal and his wife Abigail. In verse 2, 1 Samuel 25, there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. The first thing we would point out is that this man, Nabal, was a man who had great possessions. He had been blessed with many things, 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. This was what he was occupied with. Even though these were mercies from the hand of God, he had no thought of giving God that which was his proper due in worship and praise. And we read later on, without reading the verses, just to refer to it, that David sends some of his men to Nabal to seek from Nabal some provision for himself and his followers while they were rejected, while he was being hunted as a partridge upon the hills by Saul. And when the young men of David come with the request that provision be given them, for them and their leader, notice the words of Nabal in answer, verse 10. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many now servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water, and my flesh that I have killed from my shearers, and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" Notice the attitude of this man. He says, "Who is David? Why, he's just like a servant who has broken away from his master. He didn't recognize that David had any rights at all. But did David have rights? Was David just as a servant? We know at this point in the history of David, he had already been anointed by Samuel to be the king over Israel. That man who was the people's choice, Saul, had already been tested and rejected by God. There had been adequate time of trial and testing given to Saul, and he had proved that he was not a man of faith. He was not a man who could wait upon God, and he was not a man who could obey God's bidding. And we know that when Saul disobeyed God in the matter of the Amalekites, Samuel was sent by God to inform him that God had ripped the kingdom from him, and he was to be rejected as king over Israel. And then we know that Samuel was sent to anoint David, the youngest son of Jesse, to be king over his people. Now Saul refused to accept this. And I would like to tie this in with a thought that our brother brought before us of Satan being a defeated foe. The prince of this world is cast out. He is already judged. And he is as a usurper on the throne here in this scene. Just as Saul was a usurper upon the throne after he was rejected by God and David had been anointed, so Satan is a usurper upon the throne today. He has no real rights as far as we are concerned, the redeemed of the Lord. We own the rights only of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though this is not publicly displayed, this is not the time when the Lord Jesus Christ is asserting his rights in a public way. Yet we as the people of God would own that he has his rights over us in our pathway through this scene. And Satan is as a usurper. Well, now Saul would not accept the fact that he had been rejected. And so he endeavored to put David to death. We know that how David had to flee from Saul's court for his life. And how that Saul pursued David out into the wilderness to put him to death. And here we find in this circumstance, David is here as the rejected king, as the one who has all of the true rights of God's king. And yet this man Nabal says, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse?" Why, he's just like a servant who has broken away from his master. He had no regard whatsoever for the rights of David. Well, you know, that's what we find round about in this scene in which we live. There are those who are very concerned about human rights and the rights of this and that, but they're not concerned with that which is due the Lord Jesus Christ. There is still that attitude that they will not have this man to reign over them. As our brother was pointing out, oh yes, they would accept him as king if they could make him king, if they could have him in the way that they would desire him. But they will not have that man to reign over them. They will not have his authority. They will not have his jurisdiction. No, they will cast him out like this man Nabal. He says, "Well, I shall not take the things that are mine and give unto David at all." This is the spirit and attitude of the world. Well, now, we read in verse 14 that one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, told Abigail what Nabal had said to the servants of David. Now notice verse 18. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." And then in verse 20, And it was so as she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met David. Verse 23. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. Now notice Abigail, in her attitude toward David, the first thing we see is that she recognizes that the attitude of Nabal is all wrong. She recognized that Nabal's attitude toward David was not right at all. Because not only was David God's anointed king, but David and his men had protected the shepherds of Nabal, and Nabal had benefited from the fact that David had looked after his shepherds in the field, David and his men. She recognized that the attitude of Nabal was an unrighteous one, that it was folly and foolishness. And I would like to bring before us this afternoon this thought, that the first thing we need to recognize as far as the attitude of this world is that its spirit and attitude toward the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is entirely wrong. Is entirely wrong. And just as Abigail disassociated herself from that attitude of Nabal, so God would have us to disassociate ourselves from the attitude and spirit of this world. The attitude and spirit of this world. And I'm sure that just as in the case of Abigail, when she disassociated herself from the spirit of Nabal, she exhibited it by what she did. She didn't merely sit back in the house and say, "Now I don't agree with Nabal. I think Nabal's attitude is wrong. I do not share his thoughts." But she demonstrated the fact that she did not agree with Nabal by what she did. She brought these provisions out, and she made haste to bring them to David and his servants. And I believe God looks for that in us too. Not only that we say with our lips that we do not go along with this world in its rejection of the Lord Jesus and in its desire to just maintain that which is for itself, its own possessions and its own rights, but God would have us to demonstrate it by our actions and our ways. In the way that we conduct ourselves in every aspect of our life, disassociating ourselves from the spirit of this world that would not recognize the rights of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you know, I believe God will take great delight in this, even as we find that David took great delight and pleasure in the attitude of Abigail. That whatever occurs in the circumstances in the life of the Lord's people, that rather than being like those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, to approach these things on a human basis, considering it in respect to what is for our comfort or what is for our own liking, for our own pleasure, we should consider it in connection with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what is due Him. As to whether or not we're owning the rights of the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing Him in a practical way in our walk as Lord, just as Abigail brought these provisions to David, she was moved to action. She disassociated herself entirely with Nabal, and she says that's a foolish attitude that he had. Oh, do we really realize that the attitude that the world has, those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are, as it were, the masters of their own fate, and that they can just work out things for themselves according to their own wisdom and understanding, or that they consider things only in the light of their own comfort or their own pleasure, their own desires? Do we really see that that's a foolish attitude? That it is folly that God would have us to have the attitude of how all of these things, everything that touches us in our pathway, how it concerns the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is His will? What is His thought? What does He have to say about all of these things? You know, I believe we have in this precious book that we've had before us in these meetings here, and we've heard precious ministry from, brings before us what we might say the rights of the Lord Jesus Christ expressed. They're expressed in this precious book. If we want to know what are His rights for us, what it is He desires for us, we find it in this precious Word of God. Well, we know, of course, that the world's attitude is that this book has nothing for them. Do we really see that it's folly? Do we really realize that it is foolishness to go on without regard for the Word of God, the rights of Christ as expressed in this precious book? Well, may we demonstrate it as Abigail. And she comes and she says that man Nabal is nothing but a fool. She doesn't want to be associated with him in any way. Now notice, she goes on and speaks to David. Verse 26, "Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal." Let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. Verse 28, "I pray thee forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days." Oh, how she was attracted to David here, even though he was the one who was still rejected. And as far as outward circumstances were concerned, it may not have looked as if he was fighting the battles of the Lord, and it may not have looked as if he was going to be made a sure house, but the faith of Abigail looked beyond the present time of David's rejection and being out there in the wilderness, looked beyond that to the time when he would reign, when he would have his proper and due place. She knew that God would make him a sure house. You know, we read in 2 Timothy of a crown of righteousness that will be given to those who love his appearing. Love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not the rapture. The rapture of the church of God takes place before his appearing. We know that his coming for his saints precedes his coming with his saints. Loving his appearing there, I believe, looks forward to that day when he will have that which is rightly his, when he will be in the place that belongs to him publicly, manifestly, visibly here in this world, when all men are drawn unto him. And those who love his appearing are those saints of God who long for that day that he might have his proper place. You know, we hear many comments in the world today about, even among those, I might say, who do not know the Lord, as to how bad conditions are. We hear them speak as if things are getting very bad, and yet they really are not those who know the Lord. But they recognize that the world is in an upheaval, and things are in confusion and turmoil. Do you know the child of God, as he thinks of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, though we know that all of this confusion and turmoil will be terminated, we know that there will be conditions of plenty. There will be conditions of blessing such as man has never known. What really makes us long for that day is not merely a wonderful condition in that respect, but it is because the Lord Jesus Christ will have his due place. The one who was rejected and cast out, the one that they said, "Not this man, but Barabbas." And to think that the world's estimate of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was not equal to a man like Barabbas. "Not this man, but Barabbas." To think that in that coming day of his appearing, he will have that rightful place. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Well, those who love his appearing during the time of his rejection are those, I believe, like Abigail, who will minister to him and who will own his rights and own that he is God's anointed one. Own that even the place he now has in the glory is his rightful place. Is his rightful place. And as we know that God will make him a sure house because he fights the battles of the Lord. Verse 29, "Yet a man is risen to pursue thee." Notice here she says, as to Saul, just a man. Oh, she didn't look upon him as the king at all. And yet he was still there on the throne. He had not been removed, but she knew that he was not God's king. He says, "A man has risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God." She recognized that David and David's destiny was all bound up with the Lord thy God, God himself. Everything that is to be for the glory of God in this scene is all found in connection with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all bound up with Himself. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ, though He is rejected, though He is cast out, we do love His appearing. We look forward to that time when He shall have His rightful place, and everything will be according to the mind of God. Everything will be administered in this scene according to the mind of God. God will be glorified, the Lord Jesus Christ glorified, and as we were reminded too, there will be those glorified with Him by His grace. But now is the time, as we were reminded too, of discipleship, following Him in His rejection, but owning Him in all of His right, in all of His title, all that is due Him, that which belongs to Him, even as we see here in this one, Abigail, being attracted to Him and disassociating herself entirely from that wicked and foolish spirit of Nabal that would not own his title and give him his rightful place. May we be those who, of whom it is said that they love His appearing.